TJ. So
we kind of just talked about some of the big shot horses, but is there someone that nobody's talking about?
Oh, yeah, there is. You know what Barney's got up to. Dwayne Lucas, he's got the sleeper of a lifetime.
There were these two racing dudes named Aaron and Jared who had advice on racing and they wanted to share it. Started a website where players go to see all their picks. The goal was make the fans some money and to cut down the risk. They put the plan into motion and at first it seemed silly. Make a website where the expert picks are freer than Willie. From a racetrack veteran to just a beginner. There's one place that you want to go to find you a winner. As a matter of fact, I want to hit the Exacta. There's only one site that you'll keep coming back to. So next time that the horses all line up at the post, make sure you use the website that'll win you the most. Whether Churchill, Oaklawn, Gulfstream Park, Saratoga, and all tracks in between, there's only one site to go to. When it comes to your racing needs and all of your bets, plus it's got a catchy name that no one ever forgets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets. RacingDudes.com for all of your needs. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.
What is up? I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. This is Blinkers Off. What's up, dude? You are in studio today.
Yep, back and pumped up about it. This is going to be a great show.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show considering we don't have anything to talk about.
That's always how you like to start off a show, that I say, hey, it's going to be a great show. And you're like, yeah, we don't have a thing to talk about.
And all the listeners are now exiting out of their apps or whatever. You know, like, they're not listening anymore. So we can talk about anything now.
That's right.
No, you know, racing is slower this week. And by slower, I mean kind of none.
Right.
But we do have, you know, the first Kentucky Future Wager just ended, which I know you love it. And it's even, you even love it more when you're doing it in November.
No, yeah.
But it has ended, so we're going to talk a little bit about that and kind of run down some of the names, because you know what's coming up in 2 weeks, right?
The draft.
The third annual.
Yes.
The third annual Triple Crown Fantasy Draft. In 2 weeks, we're going to do that. So kind of get used to some of these names, some of the new, because this year, this year's tough.
I'm telling you, this year you are going to have to, and I guess you as in me and you, because we're going to have to try to provide the public with good picks, but we are really going to have to focus, because there's just a bunch of horses out there. It's just a grab bag of, I don't know how good you are or not, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you can stretch out or not, so.
Well, for starters, there's no American Pharoah in the field.
No, but we're never going to have that again, you know? But
a quarter of what he had to offer we have seen yet, you know. And I say that even like with Nyquist, who is, besides the all others, is like the 9-1 favorite right now. Mm-hmm. I still say that about him.
Well, there's some questions about Nyquist, and we'll get to that later on. But you know, if it wasn't American Pharoah, it was Texas Red. It's like he looked really good at this point.
Yeah, there was some names at least.
Right, and so, you know, you had Frosted, who had looked pretty good at this point. And you could go on down the list. Upstart had looked good. We don't, you know, you do have Nyquist. And then you've got some horses that won on a sloppy track at Churchill. You've got some horses in the Remsen that might be kind of maybe that Frosted Upstart type of horse that maybe.
And you got some that are just now start breaking their maidens that look like they could have quite a bit of potential. But still, it's, they just broke their maiden. It's a far stretch from saying breaking your maiden to win the Kentucky Derby.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. But that's what we're here for. I mean, that's why, if it was easy every year like last year, then
And it seemed like last year when you tried to get cute, you got killed.
Mm-hmm.
Where this year, I think you can get cute all day long.
You could almost pick any horse in all these races, the prep races, and have a chance and really not look stupid for making that pick, because really don't know.
Yeah.
Early in the year, especially when you have some of these fresh maiden winners coming out, that could, you know, that really shoot out of, you know, and look really good out of the gate.
Think about our home track, Oaklawn Park. It is just a scramble.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a lot of horses that are maiden winners. We've got maybe one or two horses on that list where it's like, okay, he's won one, and then maybe he won an allowance, but man, that is a wide open local pool right
and
now.
And then imagine for the big ones, who ships in? I mean, it could be anybody.
You just, you know, Baffert usually is good for bringing horses in, but what's he really have right now? We don't know. So it is all a big mess at the moment.
Hey, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did.
Did you watch racing?
I did.
What'd you think?
I loved it. Tonalist. Tonalist was my favorite.
Tonalist was made the number one, right? Number one
star of the week. Yeah, number one star of the week, Tonalist. I thought he was absolutely awesome. I mean,
that horse, and you have been a fan for as long as I can remember, but that horse is running so good. You know how we usually say that he has that kind of grinding, slow style? He didn't do that.
He exploded.
He exploded. Yeah. I mean, I honestly thought in the far turn he was done. Something, you know, he just wasn't firing today. He was actually coming back a little bit.
Yep. I made him my best bet for Belmont, and when he broke and Private Zone breaks like a shot and he's way back, and I thought, God, you know, he's done. This is going to be awful. And not only is he going to lose, but he's not going to hit the board. It's going to be very embarrassing. And yeah, on the far turn, I thought, yeah, it's not going to be Private Zone, but it's not going to be Tonalist. It's
definitely not going to be Tonalist, yeah.
And just out of nowhere, he turned on another gear and got up. It was a great race. One of my favorite races from him that I've seen him run. I jumped out of the chair screaming. And I don't do that just real often in horse racing. Well, I do probably more than I'm admitting. But that was a moment, man. That was one of my favorite moments of the year, other than the American Pharoah stuff.
Yeah. What was, like, as far as the two-year-olds go this weekend, past weekend, what was one of your favorites?
Karina Mia probably was my favorite on the Philly side of things.
Boy, she looked good.
She looked very good.
She put away a good horse, too, though.
She did. Stage play, very nice horse for Asmussen, and put that horse away. And also, she ran a little bit faster than the boy version of the race, the Kentucky Jockey Club and Aeroforce. Just a little bit faster. I thought she looked good, and I think the Phillies, Karina Mia and Songbird, both look, you know, very good.
Yeah, Songbird clearly is not there, but past that, I think, I mean, she showed a lot. But now you got two very fast horses that like to go to the front, so it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds if they ever do match up, which probably be the Oaks.
Kentucky Oaks, yeah. I think everybody is going to avoid California and Songbird. But, you know, the one thing about it, that's okay because you could really build up a nice horse at Gulfstream, maybe a nice horse in New York. Who knows? Maybe even Oaklawn and Fairgrounds. Yep. We could build some nice challengers that we're not going to really know how they match up with Songbird because we haven't seen it. Now, if you're a three-year-old or going to be three-year-old filly living in California right now, I would strongly suggest you move to another state because you're wasting your time. But these other divisions or these other tracks where the division's going to be ran, it's going to be nice. It's going
to
be competitive.
An example that comes right to my mind is last year when you had Dortmund running the West Coast, and you had American Pharoah running Oaklawn in the Central, and then of course on the East you had a couple different ones.
Carpe Diem.
You had Frosted, who won, you know, ended up right at the right time, peaked. So you had kind of those all stars coming into that race, and they all never faced each other necessarily until then. And so that was what was really neat. So that's something similar we could see on the Philly side this year. Probably, you know, the male side as well.
Yeah, I mean you get that every year, but you're right about the big like figures,
quality horses on every side of the level, and good connections and the whole works.
And that's why what sometimes people build, like the Kentucky Derby this year was built, oh, it's just an amazing race. That's how it happens.
Yep.
You have horses that dominate all around, where I don't think there's standouts on the male side of things where they're going to dominate, but on the female, maybe. Because you got Rachel Valentina, too, that's a very good horse, so we'll see.
All right. With the third annual Dudes Triple Crown Fantasy Draft in 2 weeks, today's show we discuss contenders in Pool 1 of the Kentucky Derby's future wager, and we'll open up the mailbag. We're going to open the mailbag again. It's kind of got to knock the dust off. We got several questions coming up, so we're open the mailbag to answer some listener questions. Let's go. Pool 1 of the 142nd Kentucky Derby future wager just ended last week. And we've got 24 betting options right now, and it ended with a 3-5 favorite on the all others, which is pretty normal. But you have 9-1 on Nyquist, and then from there it gets wild all the way up. You know, Rated R Superstar is 99-1, Rikers 99-1, that kind of thing. So it gets nuts, and really, how can you? It's understandably nuts. What we're going to do, you know, since we are going to be drafting in 2 weeks, and a lot of these horses some of us heard of, some of you haven't, we're going to run through a few of them tonight, we're going to run through some more next week, and we're going to get a feel, help us with the draft, as well as help everyone else that, hey, maybe we're inspiring others to do drafts out there.
Well, let's hope. I always like to be an inspiration to people.
Well, you clearly have been so far. So let's start with the first one here. Air Force, 18-1 morning line now after the bets. Pays $39.60 on a $2 payout. Air Force, interesting about this one. Tried out the dirt for the first time this last weekend, the Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes. After finishing second in the turf in the Breeders' Cup, who hit it a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
We thought, well, we said last week on the podcast, if this horse was good enough to run on dirt, then this horse has got a real potential because we know he's a very classy horse, and yep. He showed it. Granted, the only caveat, he's not yet been really on dirt. It was slop last week. So, I mean, yeah, great performance. He's definitely, obviously, a contender now, but do you still kind of hold your breath a little bit with this one?
I do. I think he's a play against next time if the track is fast. Now, that's not saying I have not been impressed with him. I was impressed with him on the turf. He ran so well in the Breeders' Cup, he probably should have won. I was impressed with him on the slop. I thought he ran a fantastic race. I think he beat a pretty good horse in More Spirit. So, yeah, I'm impressed with him. It's kind of one of those things. I think he's definitely going to be on the Derby trail now and deserves to be. But he's got the proving to do. Can he do it on a fast track?
Yeah, and, you know, he does have, he was, got a grade 3 win and a grade 1 second on turf. And now a grade 2 win on dirt. But still, we've said it, we say it all the time, turf horses tend to really enjoy the sloppy going at a track. And so it's not the biggest shock that he did do quite well. I think he probably will be a shorter price come his next start, whenever that might be on dirt. And so he might be a play against. Let's talk about the one you just talked about in More Spirit on the 31 on the future wager right now. So 31 compared to 18.
Yeah.
If they're very comparable, finish second. A good second. Of course, More Spirit is out of Escondrea, Bob Baffert, Martin Garcia riding. So, you know, Bob Baffert has one here. I'm not saying it's American Pharoah or Dortmund even for that matter, but do you think this horse could get better?
I think a lot of Baffert's horses are going to be overbet and overrated to a certain degree because of what happened. But this horse has shown a lot. And, first time after breaking the maiden.
I think that's a big key, too. Whereas, with Air Force, it's a very classy horse. Has been in big races. This is really the first try.
Yeah, broke the maiden. Goes all the way to Churchill, has to run in the slop, got a really nice second. I hate the future pools, but if you're going to force me to pick between one of the two, I would take More Spirit at 31-1 because of the odds. Do I think he's a really nice prospect? Not sure yet. But do I think that was pretty impressive to finish second after just breaking the maiden? I really do. And I think back to another Bob Baffert horse who broke his maiden, ran in a stakes next time out and finished second, and that's Bodemeister.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that all at Santa Anita. Well, this was shipped, halfway across the country and finished second. So, look, a lot of positives. I think More Spirit goes back to California, and I think he probably will be in those Santa Anita races with maybe Nyquist. So, at this point, yeah, I think he's a logical contender. We've seen him on a dirt track that's fast, and he won. So, I'm not saying that he's better than Aero Force at this point. I'm just saying he's worth a shot. Again, if those two matched up, More Spirit would be worth another shot.
Well, you mentioned Nyquist. We'll jump right into Nyquist. 9-1, your favorite actual horse right here. And the horse, I look at here the past performances and you say, how am I doubting this horse? 5-for-5 lifetime, three grade ones in a row. The horse has done nothing wrong. Great breeding out of Uncle Mo. Why do we not like this horse?
That's a good point. I think with me, I'm such a visual. Like, I visually watch races and then say, okay, can they get the next eighth of a mile? Can they get the next eighth of a mile?
Yeah.
I just can't see him getting the mile and a quarter. I don't really know if he'll get the mile and an eighth, to be honest with you. But I think you got to be careful, and I really need to be careful going forward because, they're not going to run a mile and eighth until April. So in these prep races, I think you better. I mean, he's going to be tough to beat at a mile 16th. You better go for
it. Especially back at
his home track at Santa Anita. But, you know, it just hasn't been like the ultra-impressive wins that you'd like to see. They're close wins. Now, perhaps Swipe, his biggest challenger in all those races, is a pretty nice horse. And that's why they've been close. But I don't know. I'm still a little skeptical.
I really liked about Nyquist and the Breeders' Cup was the kind of new dimension the horse showed. You were typically saying that the horse needs to be on the front. And honestly, when they come down the stretch, you know, I didn't think Nyquist would be an issue because I thought, well, he's not in it today, clearly.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, wow, he's a 14, was he outside horse?
Yeah, all the way outside.
Mm-hmm. And you say, wow, who's that? Oh, it's Nyquist, you know. So that's great. I mean, a horse that young is kind of making those steps. I guess another point you could make with Nyquist is he doing too much now too early? Like, right. is he peaked right now?
Yeah.
And if we come into April, are we going to see a tired horse, maybe a hurt horse? You don't know.
It's very possible. When you look at the horses that have won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, they have not done much as 3-year-olds.
And whenever you're committing X amount of money on a 9-to-1 in November on Nyquist, I mean, that to me is just not a smart bet.
I think everybody out there is dying to try to beat him in the Kentucky Derby. But again, you have to you have to be careful when it comes to these prep races, because like they don't run a mile and a quarter of these preps, and they only run a mile and eighth in the last one.
Yeah.
But that mile and eighth can really be telling. Remember when his sire, Uncle Mo, won the Wood Memorial at a mile and eighth, and we immediately texted each other and said, no chance. He has no chance in the Kentucky Derby because he was dying to get to the finish.
Yeah, and like you say, the earlier, you visually saw the race.
Yeah, and materiality was another one after the Florida Derby. He ran so well in the Florida Derby, but he was about to fall down by the time that was over.
That's the best example because we both said and it's funny, we both said the exact same thing. We said we love the horse here,
yep,
but not at all going forward. Not once did we ever pick that horse again.
Again, no. And the thing about him was that he may have left it all on the track that day at the Florida Derby to win because he ran an unbelievable race.
Yeah.
Just really dug down deep. So maybe it wasn't even a mile and quarter thing. Maybe it was just the fact that he was spent after that race. But you don't want to see one wobble-legged to the finish line and then go bet him at a mile or an eighth of a mile farther, you know? So that's the thing with Nyquist. I thought that mile 16th race at Santa Anita, the front runner, I thought, well, he kind of got a little tired there. But, boy, he came back keeling and ran well. So.
But I think what we're saying here is be prepared to see this horse maybe come into the Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Undefeated or very, very close to that.
And watch that mile and eighth race right before. And if he's flying, maybe he can do it. But I'm still going to be against him for now.
You know, because Dortmund was a horse that, I've been on record many times saying, oh, he won't get the distance. Well, he ran a hell of a Kentucky Derby. He didn't necessarily get the distance to win, but he ran better than I ever thought he would. And that goes for the Santa Anita Derby with the mile and eighth even. I didn't think he would necessarily love the distance. So, I mean, sometimes it doesn't seem it, and sometimes I do. But to me, his dad didn't.
Yeah.
He's not going to do it
either. Yeah, I don't think he will.
All right, let's move on to another, 9-to-1 on Nyquist. We got 11-to-1 on the 13 horse on the program. Moe Man, who won the Remsen Stakes and is also an undefeated colt.
That's right. And a lot of people, and most of these people are from New York, think this horse is actually way better than Nyquist, and we've got three that are better than Nyquist.
Tappet and McLaughlin.
Yeah.
And Shadwell. I mean, there's a lot of connections here.
Now, a lot of times what happens is the New York horses get very, very much hyped, and they're not.
Oh, no, that never happens.
Yeah, there's no bias there, but they do. They get very hyped, and then, you know, they kind of fall off. But Mohamed, great connections, good breeding. He's another one, though, on the bottom half. It's kind of iffy that he'd get a mile and a quarter. But, again, visually, when you watch his races, like you watch the Remsen, he looked pretty good finishing. And that was at a mile and an eighth. So
it's true.
A lot of people like to take that race and really blow it up and think it's big. But the reality of it is, even though it is at a mile and an eighth, it hasn't just produced a ton of Derby winners. So, you know, take it for what it is. He looks very good, though.
What I liked about it was the horse came into the race as the favorite, went off the favorite, and really, you know, put in a very workmanlike effort. Came off the pace and did what he had to do to win the race. And at that age, I think that's pretty important. The other two we'll talk about here in the race with them, Flexibility finished second, and Gift Box for Chad Brown finished third. Right now, Flexibility is sitting here at 71-1.
Wow.
And Giftbox is 47-1. So these are two horses that finished second and third to him. And you have 11-1 and jumps all the way up to 71-1. And then 47-1 on Giftbox. So for whatever reason, Flexibility is getting zero credit.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't feel like he ran too bad of a race in Giftbox either. I wouldn't give up on either one of those horses.
Well, I mean, Flexibility's finished second. You know, two grade two races.
Exactly.
And not like they're bad seconds either.
No, absolutely not. And he's finished second to the same horse both times. Yeah, so, exactly. I mean, you know, that horse stubbed its toe and there he is. But he's a nice horse. You know, I think the thing about it is New York bred, not a huge bluegrass cat, not a huge sire. So I think maybe that's kind of why they're thinking, well, Flexibility might flame out. Where Giftbox has got a little bit more to him. But listen, I think either one of them are pretty good. And, you know, the stigma of Chad Brown can only train turf horses, it's just a crazy stigma. It's insane. You can either train or you can't. I mean, people thought Christophe Clement only trained turf horses. He won the Belmont with Tonalist. I mean, it's insanity.
I knew you'd find a way to get Tonalist's name mentioned.
Right, yeah, I know. Not that I haven't done it enough, but it's insanity. I mean, if you can train, you can train. I think he's got two nice prospects. But here's the deal. Are they legitimate 100% Derby contenders? As of now, yes. But are they really there? I'm not sure yet.
Well, if, out of those three that we just listed that were out of the rims, then is there one in particular that I know you don't play these, but one that you believe could make the Kentucky Derby? Like, who would you feel most confident in getting to the Kentucky Derby?
I think McLaughlin is who you have to be the most confident in because he's done it, you know, before.
Right.
And this horse could be a lot like Frosted last year. Could have the same path. McLaughlin will get it done. Don't, you know, think about him. He is very, very good. You think about Frosted and where he was at Gulfstream. You know, he looked like he couldn't finish a mile race. Well, McLaughlin finds he has throat surgery. He gets that done.
And then to get him back.
And it gets him back. Then he says, you know what, I'll change tracks too. And he never looked back after that. So he knows what he's doing.
Horse is going to be you know, a top 3-year-old of the year for what a top three
a year top old. Three. I not, thought you said the top
no,
three.
Come
okay,
on,
yeah, a
not dumb. Yeah. I mean, there was that other horse in there this year, but a top 3-year-old,
right? Absolutely.
And without American Pharoah, we're looking at you know,
he's probably one of the best.
He's one of the
him
best.
Or Dortmund or Keen Ice, yeah.
And considering where he was, like you say, and
right.
what he did, that was the middle of the year. So
Frosted was an afterthought at Gulfstream.
Oh yeah,
he was done. He was not on anybody's list.
It was Upstart. It was Upstart.
Right.
Over there. It wasn't Frosted.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to another one here. Brody's Cause. This was 21-1 on the future wager. And was also a very touted horse at the Breeders' Cup.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Shout out to all you that you know who you are. Finished third, but it was not a close third, and it was not really necessarily an important third. Really.
No.
There wasn't much there. I don't know.
He's the typical Dale Roman's horse. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah.
I mean, him and Keen Eyes are a lot alike. The fact that I think this horse is going to be in every race. You know, they run that he could possibly be entered in. I also think he's going to hit the board in a lot of these races. He might even jump up and win one. In the end, I don't know, you know?
You know, to win the Futurity like he did at Keeneland, I thought that was pretty good. And really went into the Breeders' Cup looking okay. And again, I don't know. I feel like he could be, I mean, I guess, you know, like Keen Eyes never won a graded stakes until the Travers. But could be like that horse in a way that you see him. He's always there and he's always running. He always runs okay, but and then maybe finally one time kick, you know, gets up there and looks good. But I wouldn't be like, this is a horse that I'm going to follow throughout the Triple Crown Trail that's going to be really dominating.
You can't take this horse and bet him every time. Mm. You got to think, okay, let's pick a spot. He's lost a few in a row. This could be a perfect spot. The one thing about him that I like over some of these other ones, he's got the breeding to go along. And it seems like every Dale Roman's horse in the history of the world that gets on this trail,
he knows how
they're waiting and waiting and waiting for that long. You know, a mile 16th may not be his best distance. We need a mile and eighth. We need a mile and a quarter. So you kind of hang your hat on that, and he's definitely one.
And now, finally, one of the bigger touts we got out of the whole Breeders' Cup, out of the same barn, Dale Roman's here. Unbridled Outlaw is 95-1 to win the Kentucky Derby. So if you are those people who's touting this horse, you still believe. I encourage you to go bet at 95-1 because finished 12th. The British Cup, it was a non-effort. And so what do you – I mean, is there anything – because my thinking is obviously there's people that believe in this horse going into the British Cup. The British Cup was a non-effort. Do you come back to the horse at all? Do you see any hope?
I have a little hope for it still. If you draw a line through that race, he did okay in the Iroquois. He ran third in all kinds of trouble. You know, something could have happened. They're two-year-olds. Anything can happen. You draw a line through some of the races. I wouldn't bet him at 395-1. Don't get me wrong, to win the Kentucky Derby. But, look, he's still got nice breeding. He's got Dale Romans who can get him there. He's proven that before.
But the thing with Romans, why does it seem his horses are so inconsistent?
I don't know.
Like, even when he gets one there, like Keen Ice,
mm-hmm.
it's now pretty clear that he didn't stay there.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like he continued to dominate after that.
Yeah.
He did run okay at the British Cup, but still, I mean, my point being, it's like they're just a freak show at one race, and then that's it.
It's so weird because it seemed like most of his horses, and you can't say all, but most of them are the same. They just kind of grind out type horses.
And I don't know, maybe
that's how, you know, he buys them. I don't really know, but they're all the same. And this could be another one that could just, maybe he'll stay the route of ground once it's here. You never know with Romans. I mean, it's really hard to trust his horses. You just don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's insanity to be I can barely even grasp the Kentucky Derby right now. And to mm-hmm. be talking about these horses and then making a wager on them right now is just, it's beyond insanity for me.
Yeah.
It's fun to think about. It's fun to already, I mean, I'm glad that we're talking about the Kentucky Derby already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so far we went through, what is that, seven? Mm-hmm. Eight?
Eight, yeah.
I don't feel any more convinced.
No. Nope, I sure don't.
All right, good luck if you play the next future wager pool. Time for the Racing Dudes mailbag, presented by Simple Plays.
Simple Plays, the tip sheet that pays. For a small price, get in on the gambling craze. When you handicap the races and when you make a wager, the goal every time is to cash in major. But if every time you bet, you see your wallet start thinning, RacingDudes.com has a way to start winning. Simple Plays, tip sheets you can trust. Even experts agree using them is a must. Whether they bet the Preakness or bet an allowance, our Simple Plays tip sheets have made players thousands. You might think they're expensive and don't give a bleep, but that's not the case, they're incredibly cheap. Even Nick Zito had to say neato when he heard about the Racing Dudes tip sheeto. So, you want to start increasing your wealth? Buy Simple Plays. It pays for itself. Simple Plays. The tip sheet you can cash in on. Simple Plays. Now at RacingDudes.com. Simple Plays. Tip sheets that experts use.
All right, Harry writes in, who is your early 2016 Horse of the Year pick?
Well, I'm not going to switch from who my 2015 Horse of the Year pick was at this time last year. And that's Shared Belief.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's coming back. I think if he stays healthy, he's going to get it done. I think if he would have stayed healthy, it could have been a match race for Horsewell. Probably not Horse of the Year because the Triple Crown winner would have trumped him. But I think he could have, you know, made that Breeders' Cup Classic pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it seems so far and so long ago that we had Shared Belief.
Yeah.
It really does. And when you have a Triple Crown between the time you talk about him, basically, it does make it seem that way. And I put out a funny tweet about a month ago, maybe, when we were talking about Shared Belief and Farrell retired and everything. And literally, you know, from the time before Farrell even came back to the track this year,
mm-hmm.
Shared Belief hadn't finished a race. You know, he had that race, and then Farrell ran in the Rebel.
Yep.
And then his next race, he got hurt, and he didn't finish the race.
Right.
So
yeah.
Farrell, since, you know, so much has happened since
yeah.
Shared Belief was last finished a race. And at that time, remember, like, in February-ish, Shared Belief was the number one horse in the world.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He was it.
Remember when he beat California Chrome, that epic, you know,
just destroyed him?
Yeah.
Went by and, like,
yeah.
Chrome was sitting still?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that. And
yeah.
So, yeah, if he comes back fine and is the horse that he was, then everyone else is going for second for Horse of the Year next year. I mean, I really do believe that. And I don't know how, unless you know something we don't, how you can say that horse isn't the top shot to be horse of the year. Yeah. Now you can say California Chrome. If you believe in California Chrome, you think he's going to get redemption. I don't see it. You know, what about Lady Eli? You know, could she come back and make a run for horse of the year? Again, how do you pick a horse that's come off what she has? We've seen it before, and they run well. But again, I think for your money, sure, belief, I'm with you.
I think one thing you mentioned, California Chrome, I think that horse is going to have a huge bounce back year. But I don't think he can beat Shared Belief.
No, I don't know. I mean, what 3-year-old coming into 4-year-old would you pick to do anything?
I mean, you know, there's nice horses, Frosted Keen Eyes. There's horses there, but they can't beat Shared Belief. No. And I'm not sure they could beat California Chrome.
Poor Frosted.
I know.
He sees Pharaoh retire, and he's like, "Good riddance."
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm going to dominate 2016. And then he opens his paper and gets back to the barn. Shared Belief is coming back. Oh, shit.
California Chrome. Oh, Tonalist is coming back. And
this sucks.
Yeah. You know what, though? He will be able to compete with most of the horses. Not named Shared Belief.
All right. Ryan wants to know, what was the best race of the year that did not involve American Pharoah? Again, if you can write, you know, send us a message on any of our social media, on the website, whatever, if you want to ask your own questions. So what was the best race that did not involve American Pharoah this year?
Well, I thought about this one for a while. I settled on the Whitney, because the Whitney, in the end, really decided older horse of the year. Because if Liam's Map would have won the Whitney, Honor Code probably would be second, and Liam's Map would win older horse of the year. Instead, Honor Code won, and now he's probably going to win it. Because those two are very close, but the head-to-head matchup goes to Honor Code. Also, I think it was a close race. It was an exciting race. It was a race that had controversy. You know, everybody's mad at Mike Smith, you know, like always. For very unfair how he always gets the blame. But, you know, he probably deserves it in this case with the ride of Liam Mapp. And there's all kind of controversy. Plus, it was at Saratoga. I mean, with all of it together, I think it's the Whitney.
I think, to me, and we just talked about it briefly, to me, the best race of the it was a San Antonio.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Because the hype that went in that race was just like we had it, like, close to what you'd have for, like, a Triple Crown type race, you know?
Yep.
And it really lived up to the billing, especially for us being, you know, Shared Belief fans.
Yep.
So, to me, that was because it lived up to it. You had the two that both fired. You know, it wasn't like Chrome ran a bad race. Both fired, came down the stretch, neck and neck, and Shared Belief said, "See you later." So, to me, that was the best race of the year that did not involve American Pharoah. And guess what? We're so lucky because we get to see it, hopefully, again next year.
That's a great point. And, you know, that's a really good one. I can't argue with that one at all. All
right, TJ, who's a Derby contender nobody is talking about right now?
TJ. So
we kind of just talked about some of the big shot horses, but is there someone that nobody's talking about?
Oh, yeah, there is. You know what Barney's got up to. Dwayne Lucas, he's got the sleeper of a lifetime. Z Royal, by Escondrea, won last time out of Churchill Downs. He's going to make a huge impact.
I mean, to me, that was one that I definitely think about, because I agree that horse is one that, and I'm going to go with it's the same barn, and here we are, homers here. We love Zayat Stables, but a horse that no one's really talking about is Justin Squared.
True.
That was a horse that won Broken Maiden and really looked great, and we haven't seen anything from that horse since.
True.
We kept thinking, we're going to see him here, and we've not seen anything from him. So maybe it's a horse nobody's talking about for a reason. But the way he won that race and beat a good horse is one of the clear victories of the day that day, if you remember.
It was a huge field, too, at Del Mar when he won. So, he won from the outside.
Yep. Justin Squared, I think it's number 11, I believe.
Yeah.
Justin Squared for me. So two Zayat horses.
yeah, we're not homers at all. But I'll tell you what, if Z Royal is a good horse, he will definitely 100% be in the Kentucky Derby. He gets him to the Derby.
We have our new Mr. Z. I mean, not to say he's as bad as we're going to be.
I really hope we don't have our next Mr. Z. I hope he's better than that.
But the Oakland Horse, we get to go see him, and maybe we don't go see him because that worked out well for Mr. Z.
Hey, he's a millionaire. I don't want to hear it.
Denise writes in, Uncle Mo is the hottest young sire by far, yes. Will his horses stretch out? We kind of just talked about that a little bit ago. Do you think it will happen? Like, do you ever see an Uncle Mo horse winning the Kentucky Derby?
No, I don't. I think he's going to be a very good sire, and I think just what he's doing, the two-year-olds, and they're precocious, they're running, they're doing very, very well, but I don't think they'll stretch out. I really don't.
I mean, maybe the horses start to just really be more of your mile horses, you know, and that's where they really, really thrive, you know, the mile races. The problem is, Uncle Mo, everyone wants an Uncle Mo horse to be a Triple Crown type horse.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the distance is really going to work.
You know, it's one of those things. I think he's going to have a strong pedigree on the bottom side of things. I really do, for him to get there. But, you know, here's the deal. A lot of people thought American Pharoah couldn't get the distance.
Yeah.
So breeding, sometimes, just throw it out the window when you get these freaks. Now, you know, who knows if he can produce a freak. All I know is Uncle Mo was a very, very quality racehorse at distances below a mile and eighth.
Let me add to Denise's question. Do you think, this is hard to answer. Do you think American Pharoah will sire a Kentucky Derby winner?
I think...
I leave it open, you say, like, because you leave it, like, 20 years, and you think probably a good chance. What about the next 5 years?
No.
Don't think so?
I don't think he ever will.
Then I don't even go any further.
The deal about it is, you can't just, okay, I'm a Kentucky Derby winner, and now I'm going to sire one. It just doesn't work that way.
But the breeding, the Pioneer of the Nile side, obviously he didn't win, Pioneer didn't win, but he's been... I don't know. To me, I feel like with Pharoah, that's different about what we've seen other freak horses that retire. Is like he's got that pedigree already, on top of being a freak horse.
You have to look. I'm not disagreeing. He could, but I think if you're asking me, gun to my head, I'm going to die if I don't get this right. I would say no to any sire that you'd ask me about because it's very hard. Curlin, do you think Curlin's a great sire?
Oh yes,
hasn't had a derby and really hasn't been close, you know? I mean, yeah. But he's a great sire. American Pharoah could be a great sire, but that triple crown, not the triple crown, but the Kentucky Derby, it's tough, you know? It's tough to get one, and it's luck a lot of times.
Right.
You know, Curlin's had good horses and maybe could have got it done, just not on that day.
Adam wants to know, with all the older horses returning, will an older horse finally win the Classic?
I think so. It's hard to say. A lot can happen, but... You know, if you get the lineup, if you get half of them...
Is he meaning this year, like 2016, you think?
Yeah,
Like
Shared Belief, California Chrome, Tonalus, Frosted, Keen Ice, well, one of those.
Well, it's hard...
Beholder, even.
Right. How do you say no to that whenever we're sitting here talking? We don't even know who is going to be in... You know, the Kentucky Derby seems like so far away. We have no idea about the three-year-olds, really. We know Nyquist isn't going to win in a mile and a quarter. I think this will be the year, 2016. We'll be back to the year of older horse domination. I think really 2016 could be the year of the older horse.
Could be.
Because I we've just kept saying that, you know, obviously you had the Triple Crown this year and you know it's a letdown. It's got to be a letdown for the three-year-olds. And it could be one of those years where we just have really kind of weird finishes in all three of the Triple Crown races. So, you know, I think it's going to be kind of a mess.
You know, I think you're right. I think it's going to be the year of the filly too, or the mare, because Beholder is coming back and will never have to leave California, so that should be something special. And then Songbird,
not have to leave California either
Kentucky. Once. Yeah, I mean, could be just something special. So
what if we had two fillies in the Breeders' Cup?
Oh, I would. You know, if in a perfect world, you would have Beholder, Share Belief, California Chrome, Songbird had a huge year, and she's in it too. I mean, it would just be amazing. But here we are
talking almost a year in advance,
like
and a week before,
yeah,
2 days before we thought Beholder was going to run in the Classic this year. Yep. So,
like we always say, don't. It's fun to think about it, but don't be sitting here planning out who you would pick in that race right now.
Right.
It's fun to think about, but. don't be thinking I got to get my tickets tomorrow because they're going to get there, because none of those horses we just mentioned might even make any Breeders' Cup race.
Well, horse racing, more than any other game in the world, will really humble you. And when just when you think you know what's going on, you have it figured out, this is the way it's going to be, it slaps you in the face and says, no, it's not going to work out that way. So we saw Beholder, you know, waking up in a hotel, finding out Beholder is scratched.
This
is what happens.
That was a funny morning. I remember I woke up before you, and of course our phones were going off, and you woke up. I said, you get fully awake before you look at your phone, because you're not going to like what you see, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that but you know what? It happens. How about, you know, a day before the Rebel is going to be drawn, Take Charge Brandy is out, you know, and we find out she's hurt. We hyped that for 2 months. Oh my gosh, champion 2-year-old is going to meet in the same track, the same race. How great is this going to be? Even though American Pharoah is going to kill her, it's awesome. It's good hype.
And we did the same thing for the classic champions, champion 2-year-olds, champion 3-year-olds,
and it didn't happen. So that's how it goes.
Last one, D Wayne wants to know.
Oh God,
will I win another Kentucky Derby?
D Wayne, of course.
P.S. Please say yes.
Of course you're going to win another one. You're going to live to be 158 years old.
How soon? Because I would love to see it, but, you know.
Well, the one thing you say about D-Wayne, let's talk about his best 3-year-olds that he's had in the last, 20 years. Like, Mr. Z and Dublin, they weren't very good. He still got them there. Oxbow and Will Take Charge, they were good. He made them into winners. Take Charge Brandy, he made her into a winner. So if he's got one there in the barn, that's going to be the key, though. He just doesn't have the depth that he used to have at all. But if Z Royal's a nice horse, he's got a shot. He could win it.
He needs him to peak.
That's the key with D Wayne.
At that moment, though. That's the key.
That's the key. That was the key with Oxbow. He peaked at the Preakness.
Yes.
And you could almost see it coming.
And Will Take Charge peaked late in the year.
At the Travers. Well, Travers, but Jim Dandy kind of was the first, and then the Travers, and then the Pennsylvania, and then, the Classic. But, they got it. The thing, and this is the thing about Z Royal, he doesn't have 27 races already. He's got 2.
Right.
So the chances of him peaking are very good. Where if, Condominium won, he's already ran, 8 times.
Well, by the time February gets here, Z Royal will have about 14 races.
No, he won't, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, you looked at Mr. Z. Mr. Z had ran, 3 seasons worth of races before he ever got to Kentucky Derby. He ran the Kentucky Derby off, a 2-week rest, and then a 2-week rest, and a 3-week rest.
Yeah. He became a millionaire not because of quality, but quantity.
Right. Yeah. So, you're right. With D-Wayne, yes, you're going to win another one was the answer to the question. Why? Because you're the greatest horse trainer of all time.
It's all the time we have. Check us out at RacingDudes.com for our free picks and our simple plays available every day for Aqueduct. Gulfstream Park coming.
That's right. Saturday, Gulfstream Park.
Los Al and Remington Park. Remington Park's about to wrap up. Hey, we didn't talk about it at the beginning. I want to ask you, what was the best thing you saw today?
Oh, man, I thought you'd forgotten about it. I'm glad you didn't. Highlights of Saturday's OU football game, our 9th Big 12 championship in 17 years, and a spot in the playoffs. I watched the highlights again today.
Congratulations.
With our hometown commentator, Toby Rowland, the radio voice of the Sooners. It was great. My boys, I'm just glad I get to brag about them
again. Did you ever think, no one thought this, but can you imagine, with 1 week left to play, which is, it's technically over, but you have the conference stuff going on.
Right.
That you guys are the only team locked in.
Yeah.
All the other ones could technically get knocked out, but you guys are locked in.
No, I never would have believed it. I thought we had a 9-3 type season coming. Even 3 weeks ago, if you would have told me that, I would have said you're crazy. Of course, we had our tough games, ahead of us. But
and now you got a Heisman finalist as well, probably. So.
Yeah, and he's made all the difference in the world for us, and we were about as low as we'd been under Stoops last year at the end of the year.
We were talking about how long is he going to be there anymore.
Yeah, and he always bounces back. He always has from a rough season. They'll bounce back, but I didn't think he'd do it this time, and he did. So I've been waiting for you to ask because I wanted to throw in my boys.
Well, I knew, before you said you had one, you're ready because you're all excited because you didn't forget. I thought I'd wait till the end. My favorite, the best thing I saw today was adding Gulfstream Park to the handicapping products page.
Yeah.
That it's coming. It's not available yet, but it's coming. And I love Gulfstream. I know you do. And really, because what it shows is Gulfstream carries through into the next year. And so that means Gulfstream started. It means Oakland's getting ready to start. And it's all about here. And so that, to me, is the best thing.
The best thing in about Gulfstream is the two-year-old racing and then the three-year-old racing once it turns. Like, I saw the first car today, which is the Claiming Crown, is going to be on Saturday. So that's always a great event. Check that out. But the first two races, main special weights for two-year-olds, and they're loaded with Pletchers Browns and Christophe Clements.
Gulfstream Park, home of Todd Pletcher.
Right, and you just get so excited. And you're right, there's going to be prospects pop up that you don't even know about yet. And there'll be two-year-olds in December and then three-year-olds in January and February. It's so much fun, and you're right. It only signals one thing, Oakland Park, and it's getting close.
We're currently covering 19 tracks, all offering free picks. Make sure you check that out. We're on Twitter @race_dudes, LinkedIn, Google+, and Facebook. All right, I'm Jared Welch. He's Aaron Halterman. Good luck this weekend. RacingDudes.com for all of your leads. RacingDudes.com for all of your bets. RacingDudes.com, as good as it gets.